time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for another Saturday morning. Yes, it's Saturday, September 19th. Holidays today, real quick. International Red Panda Bear Day. International Talk Like a Pirate Day. Arr! Can't do a Saturday without a pirate talk like a pirate day once every year. National Butterscotch Pudding Day. National Dance Day, and Oktoberfest begins in Germany today. We want to shout out happy 74th birthday to WWE Hall of Famer Gerald Briscoe. He unfortunately was fired last week, I believe. He's been in the news a little bit this past week, but he turned 74 today. And former WWE diva Eva Marie. Do you guys remember her, Eva Marie?
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
She was like in the Diva Search contest, right?
She looked great, but not in the ring.
Yeah, definitely. I remember she was part of the Diva Search, and then she went to do the Divas show and then disappeared completely after realizing she had like no athletic ability or something like that. But well, hey, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
I was going to say there was random talks about her possibly coming back, but I hope not.
Yeah, we definitely don't want that. I want to let you know the Pain Clinic is brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire Culver. You can actually go out and have something to eat at the garage door. I'm hoping we'll be doing UFC soon there. Also, hey, are you interested in roller derby? You want to be a skater, officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. I am the Cash Man, your humble host, with on the triumvirate of knowledge of wrestling. We have Furby. How are you doing this morning?
Doing very well.
And the Artiste, I see. How are you doing, buddy?
Good morning.
Yeah. Hello. If you look in the if you see the Artiste, I see the WWE. It looks like a poster or something, or maybe a flag behind you.
In your house flag.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And Danger, and you have something different like every week behind you. That's pretty cool. So in your house flag, did you get that from like one of the shows, or did you have to? Was that like a purchase?
That was an eBay acquisition at one point.
Very cool. And we've got Danger Boy, who's actually upstairs in his house today.
I've been upstairs in my house every day.
Oh, have you?
Just not in the office.
Oh, just not in the office. I was going to say, I can see outside your door window. So, we're here every week to talk about the world of pro wrestling, as you know. And how are you guys doing through, what's going on in the world now? Is everything, you guys all okay? Is COVID-19 staying away from you?
I mean, staying healthy, but even more hockey teams are canceling their seasons this week. So the whole job field and stuff does not look good whatsoever. So,
oh, that's not good. How are you, Ferb? How's business?
I'm doing all right. Healthy. Work's no fun. Still trying to find out whether I'll have a job in a few weeks. Hopefully that goes well, but we'll see.
In danger?
I'm chugging along.
Yeah, I am too as well. I work for a school district, West Rondequoit Central School District, and we just finished our fifth day of school being back in session in a hybrid style, and it's it wasn't too bad. I mean, it's, you know, it's really busy. You need this high technology to be able to do this hybrid style, and so it's been kind of crazy. But hey, we're here to talk about the World Pro Wrestling. Had like a kind of a big week. No pay per view this weekend, I don't think. I think we're pretty safe on that, but we do want to talk about some things that have gone on in the past week. We do have some news that we'll get to eventually, I think, at least by the end. But I want to start off talking about, you know, we talked about it a little bit before the show, and I just, you know, started to get a little temperature for what you guys were thinking. But I was watching Monday Night Raw this past week, and we got to see Mickey James take on Asuka, and they spent a long time building up Mickey James' new video package and everything, and then it kind of a weird ending to the match between her and Asuka. It looked like, and she looked kind of surprised when the referee, you know, or she had kind of a weird look at him when the referee called the match. What did you guys think of that? A lot of people thought maybe she had been hurt and that's why they called it. I heard something about a separated shoulder possibly, but I think she's come back out since and said that's not the case. But Danger, what do you got to say?
What you see there is the fact that no one in wrestling right now sells anything. So when you have someone who does, the referee thinks they're really hurt and cancels the match. The referee thought she was really hurt. She was actually fine, and he canceled the match because of it.
Really? And that's when she was like in a stretch hold from Asuka, kind of like...
She was getting out of it. She was fighting out of it at the time the referee called the match. He thought she was really hurt because she did that thing called selling.
Yeah, from what I had heard, it sounded like maybe the referee was told in the earpiece like to basically take it home at that point, even though it was just selling, and the referee might have, I don't know, maybe understood that more than the officials back at Gorilla or whatever, you know, the agent or Vince or whoever it was that just decided to call it at that point. So, I mean, it's tough because, like, all the conversations recently about the Matt Hardy thing and everything else, like, you got to be on the safe side. But, I mean, if you can communicate in the ring and know that somebody is okay, then... I'll figure it out.
Ferbs?
Pretty much the only thing I got out of it is nothing different from what they've already said, but the priceless face she made once the referee rang the bell. Just seeing that shocked, surprised look kind of was the end of the story, really, for me.
Yeah, it's like the screw job part 10, right? No, I will be honest with you. You mentioned Matt Hardy there, and now I'm hearing more and more as we get away from what happened to Matt Hardy that nothing really happened to Matt Hardy, that he was fine, and that they're just kind of blowing it up off the, you know, it seems like it's behind the stage kind of thing, behind the curtain, but in reality that there really was nothing that happened to him during that. Do you believe that? You know, or they're just spinning it to make, you know, some people are spinning it thinking that it was just a little too coincidental that happened, and then his wife went nuts.
I think really the way you look at Matt Hardy's eyes and his face kind of going blue in that moment and stuff, like I don't necessarily believe that he was 100% fine at that point. Whether or not that was like a legitimate, I don't know, concussion that would disqualify medically or whatever, who knows? I mean, there's also talk that maybe he had tweaked his knee, but I just don't. I don't know. Looking at him, those uncomfortable moments right after the spot off the forklift thing, whatever. Like that, just to me, he wasn't 100% fine in that moment. But seems like he's good enough now, and I don't know. They're just moving on from it.
Especially what after they did last week on TV, where they, you know, what backstage, you know, taking them out and stuff like that. Danger, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, if anybody's ever followed or looked at anything that his wife has done online for Twitter and whatnot, it doesn't take much to rile her up anyways. So the fact that they would actually be working here or whatever, someone's like, oh, it's a coincidence she yelled out. No, she does that all the time. I'm pretty sure there was almost every other match in WWE she was yelling about something. So...
I was just surprised, honestly, actually, to see how fast he was back on TV after his segment in the ring, what was it, last week? And then all of a sudden, now he's backstage, you know, getting attacked, you know, before the private party match. So I was kind of confused that he was going to be on TV that quick, the way that they made it sound. I thought he might be going away for a little bit, then coming back, go get healthy, and then all of a sudden now he's on TV again, and he's down. So it was like, eh, all right, we'll see what happens.
It seems to me like they're kind of trying to get in like a rotation where everybody pops up at least every other Dynamite just to keep names relevant and stuff. I don't know if that necessarily means that they needed to have Jericho attack him, with that, if that's going to lead to something more than just, you know, build up for that tag match they have on Wednesday. But I don't know. I guess they just want people still thinking about Hardy. I don't think it would have been the worst time to just let him sit out a few weeks and kind of let people forget about it more. But
especially if he's
having a match.
Yeah, especially if he's trying to build up, you know, the whole story of him wanting to come back for a title as well. Like, okay, having him being attacked backstage doesn't necessarily make him look like he's getting healthier or getting stronger for a potential title match. So it was just felt out of place.
Since we kind of went in this direction, we might as well keep talking a little bit about AEW this week. I will say nothing tops the end of the show as the best friends, as Sue driving away with the best friends after they pull up an upset win over Jericho's guys. If anything, I thought that I loved that. I was in stitches. They kept the show was running long, but they're still following them as they're wandering away from the ring, and it's like, oh, minivan. It makes complete sense. So there's some things they do that I think are genius. Not everything, but I thought I actually enjoyed that quite a bit, and it was a great match too. By the way, that was a lot of fun watching that last match on. And the weirdest thing is we weren't even sure what day the show was going to be on when we did the show last week, because it was either going to be Wednesday or Thursday. And so we got Wednesday, which it was the classic style up against NXT. What did you guys think about that, AEW this past week?
I actually really enjoyed AEW this week. Collectively, I think between just going back and forth between NXT and AEW, I thought both shows altogether had some of the better wrestling matches that I've seen going head-to-head against each other. So it was entertaining to watch both of them at the same time. But as far as AEW, the main event definitely stole the show. Yes. I thought it was definitely what it was supposed to be. And I really, really hope that they continue to push the best friends and really give them a shot somewhere down the road for the titles again. You know, with FTR winning the titles recently, you know, probably not going to change hands anytime soon, but more than well deserved.
Well, who thought that Orange Cassidy was going to be hiding in the trunk of one of the last cars that they were destroying, you know? And that, but it was Santana Ortiz. I love it. They came out. I don't know, you know, the whole white face they were doing and everything. I thought that I just thought it was a solid match. We got to see Thunder Rosa take on Ivelisse, which I thought was really good. And it's cool that we're getting to see the NWA. They must have a working agreement. I got to think there's a working agreement between these guys right now.
Have you heard what came out about that match?
What's that?
That there was some no selling and legit punches and stuff thrown during the match between Thunder Rosa and Ivelisse. Ivelisse wasn't selling for Thunder Rosa. She got mad and decided to do some stuff for real in the middle of the match. And they actually had a little shoot fight in the middle of the match.
Yeah, well, that's it should be interesting when they're in a tag match against each other live coming up on Wednesday. See if that's blown over at that point after almost 2 weeks since it was taped or what. But I thought that was one of the stronger Dynamites in a while. Best friends getting a main event TV win is pretty cool. All things considered, the women's match was great. Would have liked a little bit of a Dark Order appearance, I guess, just to kind of build up this what should be an interesting TNT title match between Brody and Orange Cassidy coming up on Wednesday. But overall, the show was really solid, and certainly have to give a shout out to all of the Buffalo contingent that was on Dynamite and on Dark and a little bit of Dynamite last week. But you saw Butcher and Blade kind of beat up on Daniel Garcia and Kevin Blackwood on Dynamite. They wrestled each other in a tag match on Tuesday on Dark, which also had Megabyte Ronnie on it. Puff was in the crowd for everything on Wednesday. And I don't know, I just think it's really cool seeing that Western New York contingent popping up and hopefully there's more of that still to come.
I say without a doubt, definitely. And the and who can? What about Jericho and Hager taking on Private Party?
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty cool too. It was a good night for wrestling last night. NXT certainly was up there just as well. But we're gonna go to break on that. Come back on the flip side. You are listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Starting back with a little Finn Balor music there. I'm the Cash Man. I'm joined by Furby, Danger Boy, and the Artiste, and you. And thank you so much for listening. And we couldn't do it without Salvatore's. Please check out all of Salvatore's. Full menu, great stuff to eat. Hopefully we'll be back there soon for a UFC. There is a UFC coming up. I'm crossing my fingers. We'll see. We'll let you know as soon as we know. But we're going to hear to talk about the world of pro wrestling. Just got done talking about AEW this past week. And there's a lot of news going, a lot of things floating around. Now, we didn't talk about this, but we heard, and it doesn't surprise me at all, when a little tidbit of trivia, I guess you would say. Tony Schiavone, before he signed with AEW, WWE kind of tried to come in and buy and give him a contract to come work for them. And I'm not sure what he would have been doing. I can't imagine he would have been hosting a show, maybe on the network or whatever. But WWE tends to...
Well, because he said that he didn't really know what they wanted him to do either. It's like, okay, so you just want to sign me just to keep me from actually working somewhere else? Or, I mean, WWE obviously has plenty of hours of programming that I would hope they could have found some kind of spot for him if they did sign him. But kind of weird that they went after him but never really told him what they wanted him to do.
Well, you remember WWE back before AEW, right when it was starting, and a little bit before that, they were signing people to those 5-year contracts. And they didn't want, and then even if they had no plans to use them, they were just trying to keep them on the bench. Unfortunately, our economy,
which is basically like what they did with signing every independent wrestler they could for NXT and at the Performance Center, but they don't actually use half of them. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, I was gonna say, but their plan was to. It's better that they don't be on the competition than to even to be on our TV and still get a paycheck every week. And some people are willing to do that. You know, they said, you know, yeah, I'll sign for five. I mean, even Gallows and Anderson both signed those long contracts. But then when COVID-19 hit and all of a sudden they realized they weren't making any money on the road, they had to start cutting all those contracts. So it released.
Correction. They didn't have to cut them. They cut them to keep their record-breaking profits on track.
Okay, the record-breaking profits on track. So, being that the case, and honestly, what was it, like $400,000? I can't remember what I saw the number was.
$750,000 each for those two.
Yeah, see, they were saving that much
a year money. Or total?
Yeah, no, that was their year. That was what they're making a year.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, I mean, depends. Now the question is, if you were a wrestler, would you be satisfied, you know, making the money and not doing anything for it, except for probably being, you know, I mean, obviously bowing to the rule of WWE, having to do phone interviews, promote local show. Remember, a lot of the guys we would see when they were on tour, you wouldn't see on TV, but they would come out and wrestle on, you know, the live events / house shows. And so, you know, so they would be on the road, and they have a thing called a downside guarantee. So you have to be on the road if you want to make that money. The downside guarantee is you have a bottom amount that you would make if you didn't go out on the road and do shows and sell and have merchandise sold and stuff like that.
Well, that was the problem with those contracts, is they didn't have the downside guarantee. Their downside guarantee was $750,000 a year.
Oh, so they were guaranteed. So
that was the lowest they were making. It was guaranteed contracts Vince was handing out.
So it was like the WCW days then when they were.
Yes.
Yeah. I found this trivia piece recently. Did you know that Mark Merrill was the very first guy to have a guaranteed contract in WWE? He signed it when he jumped from WCW to WWE. Mark Merrill, Johnny B. Bad, whatever he was in WCW. He's the very first guy to get one of those guaranteed contracts. And then they just started throwing them at everybody, you know, just to keep people, I just found that amazing that it was a Johnny B. Bad that was the guy who started this whole thing. We can blame him, right? Yes, maybe no. What do you guys? Did you guys hear that? Am I wrong?
Furby doesn't even know who Johnny B. Bad is.
Furby
couldn't tell you.
You don't know who Mark Merrill is?
Well, I know who he is. I never heard of the name Johnny B. Bad until I saw it pop up on the network just about 45 minutes ago.
So. He came out with a little.
I don't know if you really missed that much.
No, you didn't.
Doesn't sound like I missed too much.
He was much better at that role because that's what he was trained for in wrestling than anything he did in WWE, other than handing Sable off to Brock Lesnar.
That sounds like a bad move, too.
Well, I don't think he had much choice in that. She didn't want it, but when he was Johnny B. Bad, he would come out with this popper that would shoot confetti everywhere, and he was doing Little Richard. That was the character, the Little Richard, the musician. It was terrible. I remember watching that. It's like I'm trying to figure out. I'm looking at him. And it's like, is he doing Little Richard? And then I was like, Little Richard's an African American. Is he an African American? I don't think so. So. I think he's a guy who had too much spray on tan going on, But he was the guy that started this whole thing. So I found that just amazing. But he started the whole guaranteed contract. So we were talking about Shivani a minute ago and the funny thing is Shivani, he wanted nothing to do with wrestling, like a year ago, maybe a little bit more than a year ago, because he was like doing the Gwinnett Braves. He was like the play-by-play guy. He was doing, in fact, Ferb, you met him up there when he was doing with the Red Wings, right?
Yeah, that's actually how I was introduced into Tony Schiavone. I had heard, through the grapevine that he used to work in wrestling. I'm like, okay, who's this guy? And then I learned more about him, and then I met him. While I was handing him some game notes, and we chatted a little bit, and he's a very nice guy. I enjoyed chatting with him. So real cool guy to meet.
We ran an interview that was done by the Red Wings announcer Josh Wetzel. He allowed us to run it on the show the one time when he talked all about wrestling, and then that's kind of when he started getting back into it. He started doing podcasts, and then the next thing I think he's one of the strong points of AEW's announced team.
Yeah, I think, and I think when he kind of first started coming back into wrestling was when MLW actually started to started being on TV, 2018, I believe.
Yeah,
he was part of that announced crew.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like doing the podcast with Conrad kind of got him back into it a little bit. Then MLW picked him up. And then, I mean, I'd seen some of the stuff he had done with Rich Bikini in MLW, and it was good. I mean, he wasn't really leading much, in terms of the broadcast and stuff. But then AEW was bringing him in. I remember being skeptical about it. And he's great. The times that he hasn't been there, he really feels like he's missing. So I think he's the strongest part of their commentary team.
Yeah, I think my favorite three-man crew on AEW is Taz, Tony Schiavone, and Excalibur. Those three together I think are great.
I would probably agree with that.
Yeah,
so, and I know what you're going to say for the third one. I would probably agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I felt Taz was missing a couple weeks ago, and it was obvious. But I I think Taz and Excalibur kind of have like a little chum relationship when they're doing commentary together too.
They're funny together, especially if you listen to them on AEW Dark. They have some good jokes.
They,
pretty funny.
They do. So let's talk a little bit about NXT this past week. We got a couple matches on NXT. We got to see Io Shirai take on Shotzi Blackheart, and that was a great match. And Io Shirai, both of them are just amazing wrestlers. Io Shirai comes out with the big win. Being the champ, I don't think gonna bend over or take anything differently on TV, but. Shotzi Blackheart gets a lot of TV time on NXT, and I don't have a problem with that. You know, I just don't like that little tank, you know. But unless she's running over Robert Stone or whatever, you know, whatever his name is, what it is this week. But got to see Ciampa too take on another player too. We got to see Desmond Troy, who I think his name did his name change from the last time he was on.
It was Denzel Desjardins. He was one of the guys that they changed their name this week. Also, Tootie Miles. Last week they changed his name to Ashanti the Adonis. So some more trademark name stuff Vince is changing. But
I think my favorite match though was Kushida and Theory. You know, and I love that Kushida's back, and they're actually giving Kushida, you know, the treatment he should get all the time. Danger, what do you think?
Yeah, I love what they're doing with Kushida. They're actually giving him a little bit of an edge now, and they're letting him do some stuff. And I like the fact they didn't turn that match into a schmoz with the two different rivals coming out and you know, turning into like a tag team type deal. I'm glad they actually went with a straight victory, and they made Kushida look good. And then they announced him as the first person in their championship gauntlet match. So looks like they're actually going to do something with him finally.
And then we had a pair of tag matches that were pretty cool. Breezango and Imperium. And we haven't seen Imperium in a few weeks. So it was good to see those guys come out. And they were out there being really harsh. I like the match immensely, and then we got Kaden Carter and Casey. What's her Catanzaro? Is that how she says it? Catanzaro, yeah. Jessica Maya and Zia Lee. Is it
Zia Lee? Yeah,
Zia Lee.
I really liked the way the flow of NXT went this week. They started out with a banger of a match with the two women, Blackheart and Shirai. I thought that was a very, very, very good women's match on NXT. I love the treatment and how much TV time Blackheart's getting, because I think really she could be a star on that brand right now in a division on NXT that went from super strong to kind of weak in a matter of a couple of months. Other than Shotzi Black or other than Io Shirai, there's not much, you know, name there. So I think pushing Shotzi Blackheart to the top of the ranks there is a smart move. You know, given the tag team championship win again for the Fashion Police, you know, Imperium's great. I think they're going to be probably transferring more back to NXT UK in the next couple weeks, months. So we'll see there. But the one part that I thought was very interesting was how well, again, that they did the Theory and Kushida match, not having it be interrupted, like Danger had already said. We see that happen way, way too often, where they just have people running on matches, and then now all of a sudden it's a tag team match. I'm glad that they actually gave them singles time, and it was a good match.
Cool. Don't you like how I'm giving NXT more time than Raw this past week? Because I think it was a far superior show.
Because the only thing that happened that was good on Raw is the fact that the Hurt Business actually looked somewhat strong going up against Retribution. And I tell you, I'm not a big Hurt Business fan, but the moment that they came out and their music hit and they went head to head with Retribution, that was like I jumped up out of my seat and got hyped.
Yeah, you know, it's either the biggest sway in how you felt about the Hurt Business, or I guess there's more. I mean, listen, at the end of it all, the Hurt Business was standing, and Retribution was all laid out. So one more match. Oh, so I forgot to mention Drake Maverick and Killian Dane tagged up against Strong and Bobby Fish. I thought that was a pretty decent match. And then we got the Damian Priest and Timothy Thatcher, who I think Thatcher is probably. I don't know. I feel that this man has got like the superstar potential, or, you know, at least heel wise, he's doing fantastic. I enjoyed that match, and it's nice to see that the Priest comes out and gets a win on that. We're gonna go to break on that. We got some more news to talk about, some other things, and you know, stay with us. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with the artiste, Rob Sanderson, Danger Boy, Furby, and you. Should I give you all your real names because I give Rob's real name? Do you got any of you wanted in New York by any chance? Sean Crummer?
Not that I know of.
How about you, Josh Mead?
I think I'm safe.
Okay. I'm just messing with you, but I like.
I've been a boy for 22 years. I don't know what I'd do if you used my real name,
Danger Boy.
What about you, Rich Cashman?
Rich Cashman Jones. Rich Jones. I'll take it. You guys, my name is so unordinary, or you know, so ordinary that who cares? So let's
never could figure out the real one for Dr. Love, though. It's still a mystery.
Yeah, I was supposed to go out to lunch with him this week, and I did not. I have to go out to lunch with him sometime soon. Hopefully, we'll be coming back up to the studio soon, because I'm tired of this. But nevertheless, welcome back to the show. We're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling, and just a couple little pieces before we talk about the match of the week, what we think is going to be the match of the week last week. First, some pictures floated around on Instagram on Roddy Piper's daughter's Instagram page. Her name is Teal. What's Piper's real last name?
Tombs.
Teal Tombs page. And with Ronda Rousey and JTG in a wrestling ring. And it looks like they had just been working out or something. So there's a lot of rumors now. Ronda back in a wrestling ring. It's been over a year now since the last time she was in one. A lot of people are saying, is Ronda coming back? Is this it? What do you guys think? Any chance, I mean, is Ronda something the WWE could use now? Or is it, I mean, I think their women's division is pretty healthy with, you know, what's going on with Sasha Banks right now. And I guess, you know, we get a lot of that on Friday Night SmackDown, Sasha and Bayley. But what do you guys think?
I personally don't think we see Ronda in a WWE ring unless there's fans. I don't think it's needed right now. I don't think it'll get any sort of reaction. I thought she was okay when she was there. Right now, I just think the timing's unnecessary.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. There's no point in bringing her back without fans. Your TV is what it is at this point. The only division that could use her is Raw, but you know SmackDown, she'd be on SmackDown on Fox, and there's just no point in it right now. When you can bring fans back in and you actually get a buzz about it, different story.
I don't really care. I mean, to be honest, there was excitement when she was around the first time. It seemed like things were kind of sour around the time that she left and afterwards and comments and stuff. The fact is they have so many talented women on that roster that don't get an opportunity. I would much rather see that chance go to so many of them that are there waiting in the wings than to bring back somebody and push them right into the spotlight again. Like, I don't need it at all. Maybe in the future I'll feel differently, but I don't care.
My other issue too is, like, what else do you do with her? I mean, she had her, you know, her matches against who they were going to have, who she was really going to have matches against. I don't know if she really had a one-on-one with Becky Lynch, but Becky Lynch isn't there right now. And other than that, who really cares?
Well, you know, I mean, Ronda, you know, it was a marquee name when she came in, and I kind of agree. It kind of petered out at the end. Remember, they were trying to push her down the throat as a face, and people turned on her. We've done the same thing with Roman Reigns. You know, she and at the end, she kind of lost in. She felt the fans were fickle, and she kind of attacked the fans. I think it was all done in jest. But she did put out a video where she blamed the fans for stuff, and so when she was gone already. So, but you know, she can come back or she can go. But I think that she has a contract if she wants to come back, and maybe she was helping Teal Tombs, you know, get back into shape because Teal's coming back from an ACL injury. JTG was there. There's, you know, or maybe we're going to be surprised in a couple of weeks and Ronda will be popping her head back in. I guess we'll find out if they have a good way to do it and not like lose a crowd with her. And that's the thing too, is maybe she's someone who can't come back until they're on the road again. You know, that's a possibility.
Yeah, I think there's really only four women that I'd want to honestly see her in a match with. That's Becky, Charlotte, Shayna Baszler, or Asuka. Other than that, I just don't think she's needed.
No Nia Jax?
Nia Jax shouldn't be in a ring. I'm sorry.
Well, Nia Jax and
don't apologize.
I was gonna say Ronda was hurting people like Nia Jax was back in her time. You know,
because Ronda can actually hurt somebody. Nia Jax is just uncareful.
Yeah, she's just just dangerous. So we also had a rumor about Ricochet, and I wasn't really sure about that one. What was that rumor on Ricochet this past week?
So it came out earlier this week that a major WWE star was not going to re-up their deal when it came up. And it came out earlier today that it was Ricochet that was the one. So one, the story was wrong because it said major Raw star, and Ricochet isn't even on Raw anymore. He's on Main Event now with Mustafa Ali all the time. But Ricochet has denied the rumors, but would anybody be surprised? This is a guy who's got all the skill in the world, all the talent in the world, and was getting over with the crowd, and all of a sudden they just de-pushed him out of nowhere.
I mean, it was
crazy. And then another name, too, that I saw, too, and it was more so on social media, and this could just be a work with his character, but Lince Dorado, he took off his mask and was chiming in with a bunch of the fans, and he was saying, oh, goodbye, stuff like that. So that could just be more of a work with his character, but we'll see.
Yeah, maybe they'll stick Lindsay also with Ricochet and Gable or whatever, like Shorty G or whatever it is, and that group of guys. So, but yeah, well, you know, now it's time in the week we're gonna do match. What we think is the match of the week, which each of us we all watch all the wrestling possible. So we're gonna start. Danger, what do you think the match of the week was for you of all the shows so far this week?
Of everything I saw this week, I'd have to go with AEW Main Event. It was a solid match. It was a really good match. It had blew off the feud. It had reasoning behind it, and you got to see an old lady flick everybody off. So
that was great. Trent Barretta bled in it too. You know, I mean, he—I don't know what he did, but he cut something.
Oh, I'm surprised Sue wasn't upset about Trent getting in the minivan with a bloody back, and there wasn't a towel on the seat or anything.
Well, I have to go through a deep clean.
I loved it. I loved how Orange went to the front seat as soon as he got in. They go, Orange is, you know, what do they call it? What do they call it when you're in the front seat with the driver?
He called shotgun.
Yeah, he called shotgun. He went up into the front seat, which was awesome. But, in Danger, you're stealing that from me because that was going to be my match of the week, too. I enjoyed that. It was, you know, a lot. The guys are kind of goofs and stuff like that. I really do like the best friends. I enjoy their matches. They always put a little twist on it. And you know, I mean, but also the guys that they were in the ring with, Santana Ortiz, those guys have been steady hands for years in this business. And they, you know, they sell like champs. They make people look great, and they also look great at times. So anybody, Furby, do you have a match of the week that's not what we just talked about?
Yeah, I'll go with my 1B, I guess, and I kind of talked about it already, but the match to start the show on NXT, I'm going to go with the women's division, Shotzi Blackheart and Io Shirai. I thought it did a great job telling a good story. The ending to the match was a little weird because Shirai's moonsault was just knees in the stomach of Shotzi. I think Shotzi might have been a little bit too far away, but all in all, it was a very solid match to start NXT.
Okay, how about you, Artis? What do you think?
It's hard not to say the parking lot fight because that was just, it was ridiculous. And you've seen Mick Foley and everybody else come out and just praise the hell out of it because they did some crazy stuff in that match with going through legit windshields and throwing axes. And I mean, it was wild. But I'm going to go with, I watched a few different things this week, the UWN Primetime Live on Tuesday and Warrior Wrestling, their first of the 3 weeks in a row of the Stadium Series back on Saturday. And I'm going to go with the main event from Warrior Wrestling in Chicago on Saturday night on the live stream pay-per-view, which they're doing again tonight, Saturday night, and next Saturday as well. But the main event was the big return to the ring of one Tessa Blanchard defending and losing her Warrior Wrestling Women's Championship to Kylie Rae.
Wow.
It was just an awesome outdoor match. Just great storytelling in it. Lengthy, but like I didn't look down at my phone, I think, like the whole match, which is kind of tough to do these days. So Tessa Blanchard and Kylie Rae is my match of the week.
And that's awesome. And I love Kylie Rae, Impact Wrestling. You can see her every week on Impact. And just think about it. When Kylie came after Tessa left, I believe, with Impact Wrestling. But, you know, Tessa left as the champion of Impact. And we're not talking women's champ. We're talking about overall men's champ as well. And it's interesting that she would come back and lose her title to someone who just started it. And Kylie Rae, I haven't really been following her very much, but I really love the build-up the Impact's been doing for her. And she actually had a great match, Deonna Purrazza, this past week on Impact, too. I think they were tagging, but they kind of got into it a little bit at the end. So, you know, and if you follow Impact, it's on Access TV every Tuesday night, 8 to 10, and there are new shows every week. And they did this whole thing this past summer called Wrestler's House. I don't know if you guys saw any of those little bits that they were doing. Very, very fun. Very funny. Very reminiscent of GLOW. Real GLOW, not what the GLOW show was.
It was very good stuff. And also, if you don't have Access TV, you can watch it on their Twitch stream from this at the same time from 8 to 10. That's how I get it. But Kylie Rae, the number one contender to the Knockouts Championship, and the champion, Deonna Purrazzo. But also, Kylie Rae is scheduled to be at the 2CW show in Syracuse in December.
Oh, very cool. And she's like, to me, she's the new Bayley. I mean, Bayley kind of turned her back and everything, but Kylie Rae's like, looks like she's like the hugger kind. So on that note, we're going to go to break. We got one more segment. We're going to do some news, maybe some what ifs on the flip side. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
How could you?
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with Furby, Danger Boy, RT, Stan U, and maybe we'll get DC Dan Cole back from the hot tub of love sometime soon. Remember, he came up to Rochester last weekend and we didn't see him, and you know, maybe he got kidnapped and he's stuck here, or he's could be in quarantine and himself off the phone as well. We're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling, and one thing before we do some news, there was a lot of stories going around recently about superstars that may have jumped to AEW, and one of them was about AJ Styles and how, you know, and this is a really pretty cool story. Danger just told it very well before we started the show. Danger, why don't you tell what originally AJ Styles was going to jump to AEW when his contract ran out, but what happened, Danger?
It was not Danger who told the story.
Oh, was it? Who told the story? Was it one of you? It was Rob. Rob, did you talk about it, how they were planning to do the Madison Square Gardens deal?
I mean, I started talking, and then I feel like we all did. But, yeah, I mean, I'll jump. Like, basically, the way it was talked about, because we had already heard that, you know, Gallows and Anderson had been courted by AEW, and they were thinking about it, and WWE came through with it. As I think Gallows has said, they just like backed the money trucks up to his front door pretty much with those contract offers that couldn't be you couldn't resist. But we learned a little bit more about it, that the original idea was not just Gallows and Anderson, but it was those two and another mystery person who ended up being AJ Styles, that they were supposed to hop the barricade at the end of night one of Dynamite last October for a little Bullet Club reunion, which then we also found out that apparently the original plan or the hope was that that first Dynamite was going to be at Madison Square Garden, which is just, that would have been awesome. So obviously, you know, we got the whole Inner Circle debut, and it was still pretty cool, you know, the way all things went. But if AJ Styles had hopped the barricade at MSG Night 1, I think that would have made an even bigger splash for sure. So who knows? Maybe that would have been Bullet Club. Maybe it wouldn't have been. You know, I assume they probably would have reunited with the Young Bucks, who I don't know if they're teasing a heel turn or what's going on with them with the super kick party to the ref this week and stuff, too. But yeah. Pretty interesting stuff to see, like, these different ideas that didn't come to fruition. But you can only imagine what, you know, how different things would have been if those guys did jump ship.
Well, I will say, AJ Styles came out this past week on his Twitch channel and confirmed that that he had been in talks with them. So, and he also confirmed that it helped get him a huge raise in the WWE. So,
yeah, that's basically what solidified what he is saying is his final contract in professional wrestling. And he came out and said, you know, to that he's also not very happy with his Friday night schedule because he's missing his son's football games. So we'll see how that develops. Well, but the other thing that
go ahead.
The other thing that I heard, you know, going back to the story with jumping the barricade is from what I heard between the talks between the Young Bucks and Gales and Anderson, I think they were teasing a fact of Gales and Anderson actually turning on the Young Bucks too. So that would have been kind of cool to see if that happened.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Well, you mentioned that, and I think another thing that was, you know, AJ Styles, you said he's not happy on Friday nights. Also, he's working with Paul Heyman, who the guy who we know for a fact he does not get along with, called a liar, amongst other things, after Paul Heyman kind of got taken out of power position in Raw. And now they got to work together on SmackDown, which I find, you know, kind of interesting. But so we got to do some news before we get out of here. We got a few minutes. Some news this past week. Wade Barrett officially signed with WWE NXT brand to be with a regular color commentator. We did get Nigel this week, too. So it's like, you know, we definitely got some old school NXT with, and I think Wade Barrett's great because he always is comparing working with the same guys. I think it's pretty cool. I thought that was some pretty cool news, and I assumed that was going to happen just because, I mean, he had been on the outs with them, was, you know, making movies, doing other things, and now he's back. He's found a home on Wednesday nights.
And speaking of Nigel, just going back to that real quick on NXT UK this week, the BT Studios looks great. And another sleeper for match of the week that I didn't mention, Ilya Dragunov versus Supernova. That was a great match on Thursday.
Yeah, I was going to say, they got a lot of promotion for NXT UK this past week. So everyone thought that might be the next thing to disappear from WWE, but they seem to be hard and heavy on it because they were definitely giving it some great promotion. Some other news this past week, I don't know if you saw AEW announced the signing of Will Hobbs, who was a guy who was featured in the Casino Battle Royale a couple weeks ago at the All Out pay-per-view. He's been with the company for a while doing the dark matches and stuff, and so they just officially signed him. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's got heard really good things about, you know, his indie work out on the West Coast. Didn't know too much about him before he started appearing on Dark, and quite honestly, Dark is usually mostly not squash matches, but glorified, lengthy. You get some stuff in, but it's still a squash match sure. kind of thing. So
yeah,
to see him getting a real chance, and he's got that huge 6-man tag coming up on Wednesday.
Yeah, and for a big guy too, early on in the dark matches on AEW Dark or whatever, he was the one getting squashed, and it was kind of weird for a big guy to be squashed like that. Then all of a sudden, get a huge spot on All Out, and now he's tagging with Moxley.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
That is pretty wild. So some other news. Mandy Rose was officially traded to Raw. I don't know where that leaves her boyfriend, who's got the Money in the Bank over on SmackDown. I thought that was interesting. I'm not really sure why. Maybe they want to start refocusing on Raw because the numbers are getting so low for viewership. But I thought that was interesting. WWE announced also this past week that the next NXT TakeOver is going to be held Sunday, October 4th. What, only 2.5 weeks away, maybe? You know, the show will stream on WWE Network at 7 o'clock that night. They have 3 weekly shows to set it up. So I thought that it's kind of a, they never usually hurry those takeovers. This one's kind of getting hurried a little bit. Some other news, Hall of Fame podcaster and WWE employee Booker T announced that he had actually tested positive for COVID-19 back in June. So it seems like a lot more people are coming out now about being testing positive. I think that, you know, I think we'll even get more names as it goes down, as time goes by. Not new ones, but ones that they kind of kept secret. You know, I mean, obviously that was kept secret. Let's see, Barry Scott, the voice of, if you remember, Impact Wrestling, you know, he did like all the Impact Wrestling commercials and stuff. And he also worked, I think he did some other things too. NBA, I think it was on TNT. He's like the voice for that. He passed away at a young age of 65 this past week. And Puppet the Psycho Dwarf. You remember Puppet the Psycho Dwarf, Danger?
I do.
Yeah,
pulled a gun in a ring, didn't he?
I think he wasn't the guy in the barrel that was pleasuring himself back in the old Impact shows from the very first. Do you remember that, Danger? That was pretty gross.
Unfortunately, I do remember that.
guys.
It's very weird going back and watching some of those early, early TNA shows recently, and the, some of that stuff is, they would not get away with these days.
A lot of that stuff is Vince Russo, okay? A lot of the weirdo stuff. Yeah. So, we're going to get out of here. Sasha Banks also shows up in the new Mandalorian 2 season. I don't know if you saw the preview for it this week, but she's going to be a character on Maybe that's why she needed to get off TV for a while. So, we're out of time. I want to thank you guys. Thank you, Mr. Artiste, Rob Sanderson, Danger Boy, Sean Kremer, and Furby, Josh Mead, Rich the Cashman Jones here saying thank you so much for listening. And you can check out all our old shows on fieldofpain.net, thepainclinic.net. And please be our friend on Facebook, and you can watch the videos from the show. But I want to thank you guys. We'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. We are out of here.